that the Lord is a shield, we know very well from the Word of God. And we also can see that in the life of Job, who hallowed God's name. And let's consider that also this morning as we turn to our second scripture reading, Job 1, and we read chapter 1 and chapter 2, until chapter 2, rather, verse 10. And this is God's precious word to us. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power only. Upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped, only to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good out of the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think we all know a little more how easily and how drastically life can change just in a few moments. Some weeks ago, we have seen it. Our lives changed drastically. And as the time goes by, we start to feel the pinch. We desire to go back to normal life again. We get a little taste, I think, especially when we compare it this morning with Job's life, a little taste of suffering. Some of you have been able, by God's grace, to come through many trials and tribulations in your life already. You have tasted more of what Job went through. But as we suffer, we have these questions in our minds often. Maybe even when we are going through this trial, we start to research. What is happening? Why is this happening? We go to internet and we look at why is this happening? Why is our government responding in this way? We might even think about who is to blame. We think about what is the church's response in this way, in this time. We have these questions, and maybe you can add a few more from yourself. And one of the answers that has been given in the past few weeks, we have said this is a time where we need to draw close to the Lord in faith and repentance. This is a time that we seek to live more closely and with the Lord in obedience to Him. But as we go to study the example of Job, especially in his suffering, and he had these questions, these why questions, I think what it says in this passage, and especially when we consider Job, is that our why questions need to be transformed to how do we, in this time, in our lives, in all of life, learn to honor God's name? How can we pray with sincerity? Hallowed be thy name. Even when that includes our lack, our difficulties, our trials, our suffering. Let's consider that this morning from our text as we find it in Job 1 verses 20 through 22, where we see his suffering very vividly portrayed for us. Verses 20 through 22 of Job 1. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Thus far our text. We do this in conjunction also with Lord's Day 47. You can find that in the back of your Psalter on page 84. I read it for you. Which is the first petition? "Hallowed be thy name," that is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. So our theme is simply honoring, which is a different word for hallowing, honoring God's name. First in life, second in prayer, and third in suffering. And we are going to look how the catechism is interacting with Job's life. First way then, we are to honor God's name in life. Let's meet Job. Let's come and see his life. Well, verse 1, the very first verse of this book of Job, introduces us to Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now, children, his name probably means, "Where is father?" What an applicable name, if you think about that. When he was in his suffering, when he couldn't see God at a certain moment, where is father? Now this man, Job, was born in the land of Uz, or lived in the land of Uz. That means he was a non-Israelite. He came east from the Jordan River. If we have the land of Israel, in the north you have the Lake of Galilee, and then the Jordan River all the way to the south, the Dead Sea. So east of it would be that side. East of the Jordan River. And he lived there in the time of Abraham. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, somewhere around that time, most likely around the time of the patriarchs. And it tells us that Job was a very rich man. Verses 2 and 3 show us that he had 10 children. He had thousands of sheep, camels, oxen, female donkeys. He was blessed with much outward prosperity. And he was also blessed in that sense with leadership. When we read, for instance, in Job 29, not just Job had a name in the area. It says in verse 3, I believe it is, it says there that he was the greatest man of all the men in the east. But his fame was even in the fact that he was a leader in his days. When Job would walk by, the children would stop playing, chapter 29 tells us. Princes would stop talking too, out of respect for Job. The noble people would be quiet. He was greatly respected. He was not only rich, respected. He was also a generous man. In same chapter, On chapter 29, he is remembering the past. He's thinking about the past, and he thinks back about those days when he was helping the needy. He said, then people still valued my words. They still listened to me. They respected me he was respected for his wisdom and reputation. Truly, Job was a great man. One of the greatest men of the East. But his greatness was not just in what he possessed, in his respect, in his wisdom, or his leadership. No, his greatness is especially defined by who he was in his relationship toward God. And so it is with us. We might have all kinds of things these days. We might have prosperity, we might have riches, we might have leadership, we might have a certain amount of wisdom. What is all that worth if we have not what Job had? Godliness. Godliness, a gift of God. God-likeness. Christ-likeness. And that's what we see in verse 1 as well. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's far more important than anything we can possess in this world. Anything that happens to us, as we will see, as we go on with the history of Job, we will see that is the most important thing in our lives. God-likeness, godliness. Christ-likeness. Well, what does it look like? He was hallowing God's name in life. Well, our text shows, verse 1 shows, he was perfect. Now, when we think about perfect, it doesn't mean sinless, because his own confession says in Job 9:20, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. But perfect in this context means he was sincere in serving God. He was not double-minded. He was walking in the obedience of God's commandments. That's what we are thinking about when we come to the law and prayer, that part in the catechism, a life of thankfulness. That's what we can see in the life of Job. Obedience to God's commandments. Sincerity. Because we all know that God only is perfect. The Heidelberg Catechism speaks about those perfections. It speaks about that we would glorify and sanctify and praise God in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. God is perfect. He is truly perfect. And he is also perfect, especially when he sends his only Son into this world, Jesus Christ. And that shows us true perfection. He shows us true perfection. Job was perfect. He was secondly upright. That means that he had no deceitfulness in dealings with God and man. He could be trusted. He didn't change his words 10 times. He was not, when he talked with one person, swinging to the left, and when he talked to another person, swinging to the right, depending on which person was standing in front of him. No, he was upright. He was steady. He was perfect, upright, and he feared God. He was a man of integrity. He had a high respect for God, fear of God. His thoughts, his words, his deeds, all focused on who God is in his glory, in his perfections. A desire to serve him. He was in awe of God's majesty. He knew God. As the Catechism shows, that's what it means to hallow God's name. He honored God's authority. He dreaded to displease, as we heard last week, his heavenly Father. Proverbs 8:13 puts it like this: the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And that brings us to the last thing about Job here in this verse 1. Eschewing evil. That means he was turning away from evil. He had a repentant lifestyle. He had a Godward lifestyle. He was hating sin, avoiding all appearance of sin. Now that was not just what this verse says about it. What is written about him? No, this was God's very own testimony. When he looked at Job, that's what he saw. We see that when he is in conversation with the devil in verse 8 of chapter 1 and verse 3 of chapter 2. Then he says, "Have you considered my servant Job? None is like Job, a perfect and upright man, fearing God and eschewing evil." And in verse 2 especially, he adds even holding fast to his integrity. Beloved, what is God's testimony about our life? What is God's testimony about our life? Can he, by God's grace, by the grace that works in us, see this sincerity, honesty, fear of God? Because let me be clear, this was God's work in Job. It's not what Job did. By the grace of God, he worked out the salvation that God had put into his life. Because never, ever anyone can be saved by works. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us to walk like this. To hallow God's name in life. So what does God see? Is that God's testimony about our life? Perfect, upright, fearing God, eschewing evil. Maybe you say, "Well, that's impossible for me. I'm such a sinful person." Maybe that's impossible for you, you think. But have you counted then with God's power? With God's Holy Spirit, who rose Jesus Christ from the dead? Because this is God's work in our life. Therefore, it's possible for anyone. Because is there anything impossible with God? Who is he? That we may know him, his power, his wisdom, his goodness, his justice, his mercy, his truth. Are we counting with him who is alive and is powerful? Jesus Christ, his Son, shows that also. Our God, have we counted with him? Or is our saying, "It's impossible for me," denying the power of God? Because you see, Job counted in his life, or experienced, may we say like that, he knew his God. He counted with his God. He wanted to honor God's name in all of life. And what we see then in Job's life is the fruit of knowing who this God is. Of knowing God rightly. It's the fruit. Because the catechism also shows that when we know God first and foremost rightly, what fruit is that going to have? That we learn to order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, our words, our actions in such a way that God's name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. He knew God rightly. That doesn't mean he knew him perfectly. That doesn't mean success in all of life. It's the direction of our lives. Where is it going? Where is our thought life going? Where are our words going? Where are our actions going? What is the direction of our lives? It's not about perfection. Knowing God rightly is not knowing Him perfectly. Job understood that when suffering hit his life. But he didn't understand God perfectly in this sense, that he still thought that God was making a mistake. When all this suffering came into his life, the way he thought about how God would do it, good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad things. That kind of thinking was still a little bit in Job as well, as it was in his friends. But he also maintained his integrity. He didn't understand what God was doing when he was suffering. So knowing God rightly doesn't mean we know Him perfectly. Who knows Him perfectly? It means uprightness. It means that we know each one of us. That we don't know God fully, that we don't understand God fully, that we are realizing we are never beyond repentance. And that's what we see in the last chapters also in Job's life, of the book of Job. He asked God many questions. But then God comes back and asks him a lot of questions. And then he responds also and shows that knowing God rightly doesn't mean God knowing God perfectly. He says in Job 42, verse 5 and 6, I have heard thee by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You see, knowing God rightly doesn't mean that we are beyond repentance. Being perfect in this sense doesn't mean we are beyond repentance. Fearing God doesn't mean, as we see in Job's life in a moment, that our life will be pain-free, suffering-free, that we never agonize with life's deepest questions. It doesn't mean that we understand perfectly what God is doing in our lives, but it means that we are growing and the direction of our life is toward God. Growing in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in the knowledge of God and the fear of God. Even through all the ups and downs of life, that we learn to trust Him, that we learn to taste of His love, even when things strike us as why? Why does this happen? Honoring God in all of life is the desire of every sincere believer. Every believer here this morning will say, that's my desire. But we often struggle, how? How can I do that more consistently? How can I hallow God's name? Well, first of all, let's pray that more fervently. Lord, teach me to hallow thy name. Hallowed be thy name. But then also, let us turn our eyes from Job to Jesus. Because unlike Job, our Savior was perfect, sinless. He shared that sinlessness with every believer. When we trust in Him, He comes with His sinlessness And he imputes that to us, and he gives that us to us as a free gift. He gives forgiveness of sins. He was sinless. He can therefore be even more so than what God said about Job, that man, that there is none like him, Jesus Christ, the greater Job, a perfect and upright man, fearing God and eschewing evil. That's Jesus. Even more so than Job. Because Job was still a sinner, and Jesus was not. And therefore, he can be a perfect Savior to you and me, who so often fail to honor God's name in every part of life. And we feel that often, that burden, that we do not serve God with the zeal as with which we desire to serve him. Now, how can we learn that? Well, we can learn that by praying this petition. We learn this, hallowed be thy name. We learn it on our knees. And that brings us to our second thought. Because Job was not only a man of integrity, he was a man of prayer. And we see that especially in verses 4 and 5. And his sons went and feasted, we read there, in their houses, everyone his day. His children were coming together for some kind of feast, or maybe we could say it was a dinner party, because various verses in this passage point out that they were eating and drinking. Verse 18 is one of them. They were just eating and coming together and drinking together. And perhaps it was one of their birthdays, and they came to each other's houses, and they were taking turns in hosting. They came from one house to the other, and they were enjoying legitimate joys. Now, there is a time, the Bible tells us very clearly, to rejoice, and there is a time to mourn. Everything is beautiful in its own time, Ecclesiastes teaches us. Legitimate joys. But when these things are taking place, and after these things are taking place, there's a remarkable thing that Job does. As far as we know from the Bible, he didn't say, you're not allowed to do these things. But he shows us something beautiful about what it means, especially as a father, to honor God's name in prayer. Because what we see here in Job is that Job, as a father, was concerned about the devotion of his children's hearts. He knew that when you and I enjoy lawful pleasures, when you and I, for instance, celebrate our birthdays or have a dinner party, enjoying the plenty and the pleasure and all the things that God gives us richly to enjoy, there is this heart tendency in our lives. And that heart tendency is to forget God. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 through 14 warns us when it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So, believer, even we, when we are saved and brought out of the house of bondage, we still need this kind of warning. Not to forget God, but rather to honor his name, both when we have plenty and when we lack something. We should not forget the God who saved us. In the Bible, often forgetting God is willful forgetting. It's remarkable, right? That this was said by Job about Job, what he did. This praying, he was done by Job, who was a rich man himself. It shows that riches and fear of the Lord is not necessarily impossible. Jesus said that it was hard for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. He also warns us that where our heart is, there our treasure shall be also. And the Bible teaches us again and again that the pleasures in this world can entrap us so that we forget God, and that we become independent, and that we become prayerless, and that we think we don't need God really. And Job, as a good father, a God-fearing father, he knew the temptation that came to his children's hearts when they were eating and drinking in their houses. And he calls therefore for prayer. And here it shows, especially in verse 5, how it links to "Hallowed be thy name." What does he say? "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Do you see the deep desire that Job had to honor God's name? Not just for himself. Not just for himself. But with his children. He eschewed truly evil wherever he found it. It was afraid to displease God. And beloved, I know that some of you are listening to this with broken hearts. Broken hearts over your own wayward children. When there are these why questions. When there are these things happening in your life where you are grieved deeply. Because why? Why? Because you want to honor God with your children. Each one of your children. And that's such a legitimate desire. A good desire. Now children, what a blessing it is to have a parent like Job. Who cares for your soul. Who prays for your soul. Who allows you to do lawful pleasures. But also knows the danger that your heart is being entangled by the things of this world. And therefore calls you to prayer. And says, "Come, let's pray together." Parents, let us learn from Job here this morning. He knew how lawful pleasures, good things, can turn away our hearts so that we forget God, or worse, so that we profess Him but don't really need Him. Or worse, that we curse God in our hearts. Prayer of Agur says, he prays not for riches, he doesn't pray for lack. And then he says, "Lest I be full and I deny thee, who is the Lord." Same here. That's what Job feared. That his children would dishonor God. What an example for us fathers. Job interceded for his children in earnest prayer. How important for us too. That is what it means when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name." We also intercede for the lives of our children and all those who are in our sphere of influence, consistory, brothers. Do we earnestly intercede for our spiritual family? As a church family, as a congregation. Because we know, we eschew evil, we hate evil, we know that when sin is openly or secretly in our congregation, it hinders the power in preaching, it hinders the spiritual health and welfare of the flock. Oh, that we would be, by the grace of God, what Job is, intercessor, earnestly praying, hallowed be thy name. How did he pray? Well, verse 5 tells us God, Job sends for his children, so he gathers them. How we miss that, don't we? Prayer meetings. Coming together in public prayer. Coming together in God's house. How we need prayer more than anything else. We feel that need, don't we? Let us pray earnestly that God will gather us together again. That He will call us together in His house again soon. That He, as it were, would send for the children, His own children, and say, come to my house. Let's pray together. Let's worship together again. Verse 5 says, Job sends for his children. Job then, secondly, sanctifies his children. So that means, basically, he sets them apart. We are going to worship the Lord. We are going to worship the Lord. And he does so rising up early, it tells us. And he does so offering sacrifices. He's inviting his children to family worship. It shows their dedication to the Lord. But it also, when we think about that, the fact that he is sacrificing, it shows us that Job understood his need for a sacrifice. He knew that he was not perfect. He knew that he was a sinner. And he knew that he needed to stand someone in his place. Because this altar that Job built with his children points to that ultimate altar of Jesus Christ, who gave his life to redeem a people for himself, zealous of good works. This altar here in Job with his children shows us, or points us forward rather, to the forgiveness that there is at the foot, to be had at the foot of the cross, when we are brought there in the Spirit and we see the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Job offered sacrifices. And he did so, the verse 5 tells us, according to their number. He sacrificed for each child individually, child by child, laying the names of his children in the hands of a gracious Heavenly Father. Much to learn here. Hallowed be thy name in the prayer here of Job. Are you concerned this morning? Have you come with a cry in your heart for your children? Let us learn that we are to pray specifically for the needs of our children. The weaknesses, the sins, the joys, where we are thankful for our children. But especially their need for forgiveness, to be reconciled with Jesus Christ. Because they are covenant children. Because we have set them apart by baptism. Promised to say, Lord, we will teach them to hallow thy name, to honor thy name in all of life. So let us pray, Lord, sanctify them in thy truth. Lord, help them to avoid sin. Lord, help them using their time well to honor thee, not to blaspheme thee in any way or curse thee in their hearts. And to that, therefore, we need to pray. Fathers, in this time, when it's more difficult to come together in the church and we feel the challenge of watching together as a family even, we need family worship. How about your home altar? Your place of sacrifice, your place of worship where you worship Jesus Christ as a family, where you even may perhaps bow your knees physically. Are we faithful? in worshiping our God. Especially when our children have missed a large chunk of catechism teaching this year. Are you faithful in teaching? Hallowed be thy name. If we pray it, cry out alongside, Lord, make me more faithful. Mothers, I know some of you feel very overwhelmed with teaching and disciplining. And it's so unfamiliar. Maybe you're getting used to it a little, but you have also promised, we will hallow thy name. Let's pray. That's how you can come through these days. Ask God on your knees every morning for opportunities to reach the heart of your children. But reaching the heart of your children starts on your knees. Don't forget. It starts on your knees. And we learn from Job also that he was persistent. Verse 5 tells us, thus did Job continually. It shows his desire, his deep desire, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, that so that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather be honored and praised on our account. That's his desire. He did so continually. He was faithful, prayerful. Hallowed be thy name in all of life. But if you say this morning, but I have not been faithful, then confess it. Confess it this morning. And look from Job to Jesus. He was faithful in prayer. He was persistent in prayer. He's that great and mighty high priest who prays for each of his children. Each of his children individually. He carries them upon his shoulders. He carries them upon his breast, close to his heart. Look from Job to Jesus. He is perfect. Job honored God's name in his life, in his prayers. Even so, more so did Jesus. But that honoring of God's name laid the foundation for what happens next in his life. His lifestyle, his prayer life, laid the basis for honoring God's name in suffering. Job suffered well. Everything came all at once. And it came from many directions. It came from the south, the Sabaeans. They raided the oxen and killed his servants. It came from the sky, from above. The fire of God fell upon them. It started a wildfire and the sheep and the servants died. It came from the north. The Chaldeans were plundering the camels and killing the servants in three bands. It came from the east, a hot Sirocco wind, which is a very, very hot wind. When you're in there just on your own, you might die. It topples the house and kills his children, all dead. This is the first test. Job's prosperity ruined in a couple of hours, taken by surprise. And it's often with suffering, right? It suddenly hits. It doesn't warn us a year before or so and says, okay, in a year time I'm coming back, and then you will have some suffering. No, that doesn't work like that. It comes. It knocks on the doors and it forces itself into our house immediately. Same with death. That's why it's so important, beloved, to live a godly life right now, today. That's why it's so important to be a prayer warrior today. That's why it's so important to seek God's honor in all of life today. Because we don't know when suffering or death is knocking on our door. And without this godliness, in life, in prayer, Job could have never responded the way he did. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. He's mourning. He's ruined. And how appropriate it is when we suffer, when we mourn. We shouldn't push away our emotions when we are in pain. God created us not as stones, but as human beings with emotions. It's appropriate. But next, what he does is impossible without a life close to God. And Job fell down upon the ground and worshipped. That's what you and I do when we are living close to the Lord. We run to the Lord. We flee to the Lord in prayer. We humble ourselves and yes, we worship. We desire to honor God's name. And listen to the astounding words of Job. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Job knew that the abundance of goods is not what a life consists of. Job knew that we bring nothing into this world and we will take nothing out of it. Job knew that death will strip us of everything. Except our soul will be forever, either in heaven or hell. And Job, in amazing grace that God gives to him, he kisses God's hand that seems to strike him. That strikes him, rather. He says, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away." Verse 21. Job only sees the hand of the Lord in the events. He doesn't say, "Well, my servants, they should have been paying more attention. They're dead because they are not watching." He's not blaming second causes. Other people. He says, "The Lord gave, the Lord takes away." And that's what we ought to do. When God takes away things from us during this pandemic, are we doing that? Or are we seeking for a scapegoat? Blaming this one or that one, government or China or whatever. Have we, beloved, kissed the hand of God when it strikes us? Are we learning how much we really have taken for granted? Are we thankful even now for what God did in the past and how He cared for us and even now cares for us? Can you say, "The Lord gave, the Lord took away, hallowed be the name of the Lord"? And that's what Job says. He adds that, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Here are his words. But his life backs up his words. And how loud these words therefore speak to us. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's visible in his life. That's visible in his prayer life. And that's visible therefore in his suffering. Job wanted to hallow God's name even when his life was in ruin. The devils thought, "Well, Job is going to curse God when we do this to him." But Job says, no, "I bless my God." Job knew his God, his power, his wisdom, his goodness, his justice, his mercy, his truth. And he trusted him, even now. What an example for us. Instead of blaming, instead of wanting to go back to normal life as soon as possible, Maybe we say, "Well, is that wrong then?" Maybe that's your question. Is it wrong to want to be going back to normal life as soon as possible? Well, it depends. It depends on your heart. Because two people can do the same thing, say the same thing, but do it from a very different motive. What is your motive of wanting to come back together for worship? Is it the Lord? Or is it our comfort, the things just normal, the way they go? Is it God? Or is it self? And have we learned, first and foremost, to bow even when we feel the discomfort and pain and the pinch? Can it be said of us what was said of Job, and in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly? No accusations. No, he honored God. And beloved, this shows how hallowed be thy name. Praying that sincerely is a matter of the heart and not of circumstances. It's a matter of the heart and not of circumstances. That was the first test. Second test. Because Satan is not done with Job. He said it. Job is serving God for his own benefit. And he brings him to ruin, his possessions, his children. Mind, by God's permission, only by God's permission. Satan cannot go further than God's permission. But Satan is not satisfied, and he wants to wreak more havoc. He ruins his health. He gives him this terrible disease, sitting on the ash heap with sores rotting, stinking, itching, depressed, ruined relationships. Job's wife comes to him and says, curse God and die. You see, Satan tempts, often tries to use the people that are closest to us. Because here we hear the echo of Satan's accusation toward God, of Job toward God. Job's wife says, give up on God. That's what Satan wanted. That's what Satan wanted. But Job cannot give up, however great the pressure is, because Job says in 2 verse 10, why do you speak, he says to his wife, why do you speak so foolishly? What shall I receive good out of the hand of God, and shall I not receive evil? What a submission. What a submission. Have we ever been pressed and tempted like that? Maybe by people who are close to us. And we know what Satan wants. He wants us to curse God and die. But we also know what God wants. Because Satan cannot go further than God's permission. What a comfort. What a comfort. Thus far, no further. And Job's response again is, hallowed be thy name. Because it says in verse 22, in all this did Job not sin with his lips. Satan wasn't done with Job. But bless the Lord, God wasn't done with Job. He knows what Job can endure. He knows what you and I can endure. He can strengthen us even in our most trying times. Even in the moment that Job was crying out and cursed even his birthday later on. Even in the moment that he came to such pressure that he said, oh, that I would know where I could find him, that I may come even to his seat, that he couldn't find and see God wherever he wanted, ever he looked, rather. God wasn't done with Job. He upheld him all the way through. All the way through. And so it's his work in Job that is on display here. It encourages. When we go through difficulties, trials, this is what God can do in our lives too. This is what the grace of God can do. So it's not about our why questions answered. As we live in this world, it's a world that is mysterious. We can't explain everything. There's iniquity there. There's Satan. But there's something far more important than all that. It's how do I seek to honor God in my life, all of my life? And for that, one more time, let us look at the precious Savior. Because He is the true and better Job. As we close, let's look to who of whom Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I will see Him. Because Job's life has these glimpses of the life of Jesus Christ in it. Christ-likeness. That's what we see in Him. Because Jesus, like Job, honored God's name in life, but unlike Job, He did so perfectly, sinlessly. He was that one who's perfect, upright, eschewing evil all the time, every second of His life. He knew His Father perfectly. He rejoiced from eternity in His Father's presence, so He knew how to please His Father. He never ever displeased His Father. He never ever used a word that was sinful. He was born in perfection through the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, He can be the perfect Savior for you and me who dishonor His name too often. Jesus honors God's name, especially in His suffering, His death. Even when He, in His deepest suffering, has to cry out, as it were, where is my Father? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That's where He sacrificed Himself to cover our sins. For all the times that you and I have dishonored God's name, when we fall short of His glory, look to Jesus this morning and say, hallowed be Jesus' name. And Jesus honored God's name in prayer, just as Job interceded for His children. Jesus, our precious Jesus, He intercedes for each one of His children that their faith would not fail. And His prayers, beloved, is the ground of our acceptance of our prayers. It's not our prayers. He ordained them. He ordains to give through our prayers. But it is His power in us. And therefore, let's listen to Hebrews 7 verse 25. Wherefore He, that true and greater Job, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He prays. And therefore, let us pray. He prays. And therefore, let us come to Him in prayer and say, hallowed be Thy blessed name. Because He, Jesus, honored God perfectly all the time. Amen.